Good evening, everyone. We are up to Simen Lamed Gimel. We still have to finish off Siv Gimel with a couple of points. And then Siv Dalet, Mirz Hashem, which Siv Dalet is a very important Mishnah Bura, which is Siv Kotten Chov Gimel. Today, exceptionally, I have a, with regards to it's addressing specifically the point of the tefillin that we've been discussing, but beyond that as well, there's a very important Reb Shlomo Zalman, an exception. I like to read it inside because it's such a widely quoted concept, which is crucial not just for Hilchos Tefillin, but for so many other areas of Halacha. A very widely quoted and very important and famous piece of Reb Shlomo Zalman. So I've therefore brought Reb Shlomo Zalman today. And I'm going to, Mirz Hashem, quote that. We're going to go through it inside because it's such an important shtickle. But before we get there, just going back to, let's look at Siv Gimel again inside, going back to Mishnah Berurah, and then we're going to get to that Shlomo Zalman addressing a few points. So let's just briefly go over Siv Gimel again, just to get back into it. Oyer Ratzuas, the leather of the Ratzuas. Tzorich Shim Oyer Be'eim Ochaya Ve'oif. Hatoyrim needs to be out of leather, which is from behema, chayev oif, which are pure toy animals. Again, doesn't have to be shechtel, of course, but toy animals. Vetzoichim aspishim ma'ubat lishmoy, it needs to be processed lishmoy. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. The ratzuah is bein me'oy, can either be made out of leather, or bein miklaf, or whether of parchment, kshiros of kosher animals. And then halachah l'mishmisinai is shiratzuah shchoyrois, that needs to be black. We spoke about the fact that it's ma'akev mibachutz externally, and this is the mishnah which we haven't learned yet. Externally avol mitzad pneim, but internally is facing you, facing you. Mitzad ponim yasem is a tzeva shiyetzik, can do any color chutz me'edom excluding red, shemayoyim, that people may say, shemamidam chatotov, nitzpu ve'edimu, that maybe it's from blood. Mishlebu in Tziv Kotten Chof says the following, mibachutz, letzad ha-seyor, shu mokem ha-cholok. So, it needs to be black going outwards. Obviously, the part that the ratzua is going towards you don't need to be black, to the majority of opinion. If you only have the inside black, that's not good enough. And they need to be black on the outside as well. Now, by the way, Mishnah Berurah doesn't remind us of another point as well, that we learned that the ratzuas should always be facing, the black always needs to go out. If you turn them round, we actually spoke about it, Mishnah Berurah earlier said, that it's no good if they're turned, the ratzuas always need to be facing the right direction. If you've got the wrong, if they're turned upside down, it's actually no good. Very good. I almost want to speak about that. Because it's got to be Sifkot and Chavalev. Mishnebu Sifkot and Chavalev, Yaseh, Roi Tzeloima. Im Yerzel Itzboya Oysen, if you want to dye them black, then says aval ein, that you could do so. Aval ein mechuyav letzava meshum tzeva. There is no requirement whatsoever to have the inside black. There's no need whatsoever to have them black. Now, has anybody ever seen those tefillin which are completely black? Yeah, where did that come from?
That's only ratzuas they sell these days.
It's only ratzuas, really? So much so.
I got new ratzuas a few months ago.
And there's only ones. Really? Says the Mishnah Berurah, where did that come from? Ve'af la Rambam, although according to the Rambam, tzorich la'ashchiron gam be'bifnim, the Rambam's opinion is they need to be black inside out. The Rambam's opinion is they need to be black facing both ways, out and in. K'mo shabatim emshchoyren, like the batim need to be completely soaked in black, completely black both directions. Ein onu noyagin ka'Rambam hazeh, our minhag is not like the Rambam. And we only have black facing out, we don't have black facing in.
Rambam's not saying that the inside of the batim have to be
black. Yeah, you're right. No. Yeah, but with regards to the tzuas, the Rambam says they need to be both ways. This is where it's coming from to have tefillin which are complete, the ratzuas, to have both in and out black, is the opinion of the Rambam, who holds that it should be that way. But the Mishnah Berurah testifies that this is not the minhag. The minhag is, like for many, many hundreds of years, that tefillin were, the ratzuas were only facing black into outwards and not inwards. But it's true that nowadays it's very common. I didn't know that's the only tefillin available, the only ratzuas available. But it's definitely very common nowadays to have those tefillin which have the hidro of the Rambam. Although the Mishnah Berurah points out that's not the minhag. A minhag can change, as we know, but that's where it's coming from. If I'm not mistaken, it is doesn't mean that it needs to be completely. There is opinions. It doesn't need to be it's just facing in and facing out. There is a bit of a nidden, right? There is a bit of nidden about the sides. But kula alma moide that the inside doesn't need to be up. So that's not the point of the Rambam. There's a bit of a nidden with regards to the Rambam's the sides. There's a bit of a nidden about that. The Achronim speak about it. I don't know what the consensus is. Exactly, very good.
Why should it be different?
Very good, you're right. But one can be done about this. Yeah, I hear. Yeah. Very good that you're actually addressing an important point. That even according to the Rambam, it's not part of the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. We learned that the blackness is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. We learned that it's Ma'akev as well. Even according to the Rambam, who holds that the inside of the Ratzuas need to be black, even he holds that it's not part of the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. Even he holds that if it's not black, it's not Ma'akev, and you're still fulfilling the mitzvah. It's not Ma'akev. He holds that it's a hiddo, it's nice, it's Zekeh van Veyu. It's nice and beautiful to have tefillin which are in both directions black. Surely if it's the direction facing out needs to be black, and that's Ma'akev. But even according to the Rambam, the other way that he holds that needs to be black, it's not Ma'akev if it's not black, it's just a hiddo if it is. So it's not Ma'akev according to the Rambam's opinion as well. You are still fulfilling the mitzvah according to the Rambam without it as well. Now, I want to address over here the point of the white dots. Before we do so, however, we need to be aware that there is the Bialoch in numerous places addresses the point that how long actually the Ratzua needs to be. And even the Mishnah Berurah says, let me just quote that bit. The Bialocha points out, the Bialocha in Debo Amaschel or Tzuas Shchoyrois, the Rambam, in the earlier Omud, brings an interesting shaila. Haratzua shchoyra is blackness of the ratzua. Beina shel rosh, uveina shel yad ramam sham. Umistapakne, says the Bialocha, I am in doubt. Emina teure, is this from the teure? If how much is required from the teure? Dai bechol echot ad kidei shiuroi, ve'asharu le'mitzvah l'noi be'alma. Is it really necessary that the entire Ratzua is completely black? Or, we know that there is a shear with regards to the shear of the Ratzuas. We learned, we have a lot more than what's really required. But whether it's the Ratzuas on the hand, or whether it's the Ratzuas by the Tefillin Shaliyat, our normal Tefillin, normally the Ratzuas are longer than what the required shear is. So he asked the Bialocha, is it really absolute necessity that those parts of the Ratzuas which are not really required, and this is very, very negele maisa, those parts which are not required really, the Ratzuas don't need to be that long, what happens if those are not black? And I'll tell you why it's very negele. For instance, the part of the Ratzuas which you wrap around your hands, that part, you've got some spare part of the Ratzuas, and you go around and around. That part is surely not a part, it's not necessary for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's absolutely spare. There it's very common because they are wrapped around, so it is often you've got a bit of whiteness there. It's not completely black. That's part, do you know what I mean? Sometimes over there, is that a problem or not? So the Bialocha says, I don't know if it's a problem. Mr. Parkin says, I'm in doubt. Mina Torah, is it just a noy mitzvah? Is it just a hiddu to have those parts black as well? Or maybe you don't know dilma, or maybe. Maybe, since it is part of the very Ritzua, it's part, it's all one piece. Maybe everything needs to be black. Yes, it is not really necessary. But once you've got it, once it's part of the Ritzua, yes, it does need black, says the Bialocha. And that's the suffix of the Bialocha. He is unsure. He brings a Rai, which is Matcha, and he seems to be at the very end leaving as a Tzorich Ian. The Mishnebo doesn't seem to pasken. The Bialocha seems to be saying leaving as a Tzorich Ian. He's not sure as to whether there are parts of the Ritzua, which is not a necessity of the mitzvah, do you actually need to have them black or not? Which is an interesting, very important lemaisa. But beyond that, I would like to now address the shaila of generally the black of the ritzua. How much is really necessary? Because you see that many of our ritzuas, if you go and you investigate the ritzuas, often you will find dots, especially if they are used, sometimes if they get quite old, you can have white dots. And sometimes, even if they're not necessarily that old, but sometimes you can just find that. Once we have understood that it's halacha l'mishum Sinai, and once we understood that it's ma'akev, is it really a problem or not? To what extent is it a problem? To what extent? And if, let's define it. Let's try to define it. Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to be addressing that very, very point, but let's try to find out. Rabbi Yisrael, what's your opinions? How would you define it? How much whiteness is a problem? How much white dots? How do you define it? Completely, utterly, wholly, yes, even a slight problem. So according to you, if it's part of the Halacha L'mishum Sinai, you're going to find one white dot after you made the bracha, would it be a bracha levatola?
If it was white at the time.
It was. You find, at the end of davening, you go over the tefillin, you bend them slightly, and you see...
Not all measure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you tie now? Hot. You said that it probably should be.
Maybe a bottle to some extent. Maybe a culture. I don't know.
Culture.
Whatever you get away with on the bottom, you probably get away with the same thing.
Okay. And how much would that be, would you be marked at that?
Not sure. My guess is that you wouldn't get away with anything on the bottom.
Okay. Okay. Roiv. Interesting. That's an interesting svara because we find achirabim lahatois. We go always according in din Torah. We always go into majority. You have 51% black, 49% white.
Sure,
you'll get away with it.
That's in the case of suffix.
Suffix.
Or even a case of
suffix. You haven't got a suffix over here.
And
a right. Okay. Yeah. Just a little bit. But what do you tie
it?
So it should be absolutely rigidly. Says that Bishlam Zalman. And this Bishlam Zalman is one of the very famous, very widely quoted Bishlam Zalman because it applies in many areas of Halacha. He actually wrote this with regards to the ribua of the tefillin. The squareness of the tefillin. How much do you need to be worried about the squareness of the tefillin? So you can really, if you start measuring it to the millimeter, and you're going to be, it's going to be, because it's Halacha L'mishum Sinai. Halacha L'mishum Sinai needs to be absolutely square. What's the beyond less than millimeters? How would you call that?
Micrometers.
Maybe micrometers. Who says millimeters good enough? Maybe you need to go micrometers. Pardon? Okay, good. It's good enough. We understood it. So where is the limit? How do you go about it? The ribua needs to be ribua. Less than ribua, you're not fulfilling Halacha L'mishum Sinai. It's ma'akev. Where do you... Says Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman's words, more or less, is that... This is not mamash, this is pretty much his lashon. He says, ribua tefillin, the squareness of the tefillin, ein tzorich lehakpit, you do not need to be makpit, shemuduyek, that it should be absolutely precise, lefi, according, klei hamedida, measurement, utensils in kelim, elo, only kol shenira le'ein, everything which is visible to the eye, shehu merubah, that appears to the eye that it's square, sagi, it's sufficient. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, so I'm going to explore that in greater detail shortly. The yesoid and the concept is that it goes according to the person's, according to general visibility. Does that make sense? According to a person, what is visible to the eyes? What is visible to the eyes? You do not need, pardon?
In kashrus, if there's
very good, that's Imam Shemitam. I will get to that, that's Imam Shemitam speaks about. She's saying that, but Toiloi, Toiloim, what about toiloim, insects? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman compares all this, and he goes even further, and he compares it also to Elchas Esek, the concept which is the Mabit, and he compares that only Goyim to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who compared this. He said that we find, in regards to Esek, there's Menuma, a sort of Menuma of black dots. We're getting closer to Sukkot. Some of us are getting quite excited. And we get the Shaila about Menuma and black dots. And it's inevitable. It's very hard to find Esroigim, which have absolutely, absolutely no black dots. It's very old. Dots, I wouldn't call it black. But it's very rare to find Esroigim which have absolutely, absolutely no dots. So sometimes there are minute sizes, but it's a very... So Reb Shlomo David Mabit says that it goes according to Reois Ha'inayim, the Torah is given to us with our eyes, not Melochim's eyes, if there would be such a concept, but our human physical eyes. The Torah goes according to that. You do not need to go beyond that. If it's not visible from a regular distance, you can ignore it, even if it's black. We learned when Melchizedek, we said it's very rare to find black dots. But even if you would find a very, very black dot, and it's not clearly visible from a regular distance of some 20 centimeters or 30 centimeters, you can ignore it, because that's what the Torah is talking about. The Torah was given to us, not to Melochim. The Torah is given to us with our physical eyesight. And therefore, Toiloim, which are not visible, not clearly visible, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, that you can actually, they're not included in the Issa. Here Moshe, which says a similar tshuva, actually compares it to he has a similar svara, and he says things which are not clearly visible to us, they can. The truth is, Reb Shlomo Zalman in his later years, with regards to toiloim, he changed his psak a little bit, with regards to toiloim, with regards to insects, he went a bit more like machm in his later years, but in that particular tshuva, he actually compares that, and he says that it's all given to us with our eyesight. You do not have to go more than that. Consequently, when it comes to the tefillin, if you look at a tefillin like this, and I can guarantee you're not going to find one batimach who's going to do that nowadays like that. You look at you're not going to find one esek. You look at it from a certain distance, and that looks square. And he said that's fine. You can pass it on, and it's that's called ribua. That's called ribua. More than that, you don't need. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. I would like to read you those words. It's based on Reb Shlomo Zalman says as follows. It's beautiful words of Reb Shlomo Zalman. Klolo, it's a klal. The bechol dine Torah, with all the dinim of the Torah. As linon baso chushe ya'odom. We go according to the senses. The chushim, the honor of a person. Ki ha-toyre nitzna le-odom. Look at these beautiful words of Reb Shlomo Zalman. The Torah was given to man. Lefi chushav, according to his senses. Ve-ke-ein, ma she-omu chazal. Similar to what chazal said. Lo-il nitna toyre le-malachi ha-shoreis. The Torah was not given to melochim, was given to us humans. Therefore, kol sheri also mesukenes. If a person has got a normal type of eyesight, ein loy pgam oy mumchas v'sholem, he's got a regular eyesight. He can see more or less normally. Ein loy ela mashe ein loy vroyos. All he needs to worry about is about his eyesight, what he can see with his eyes. V'kol shenira le'ein, and everything that is appears to his eyes to be meruba, to be square, kosheru, it's kosher. And similar, and we find that in other areas of Halacha. And then he says, he compares them, similarly, in Esrik, when it comes to an Esrik, if you can see a Nakuda, Kolshi, if you can see a some dot, that cannot be seen with the eye, Shesh Pechison, cloud, you cannot see with your eye, at all, it doesn't look like a Chison at all, and you take in a magnifying glass, and there you can see shuchos, that it's missing even, or that it's got some blemish, and le ischashe baze klal, you do not have to be mischashe baze at all, very osre koshe muda lechatchile, and it's a beautiful lechatchile dige esrek. Now this is quite a chiddush, because not only, because it's quite a chiddush over here, because when it comes to dinei hodo, it's quite understandable that we go according to the eyesight, but over here he goes beyond that, and he even says, that's right. And even when it's chose has nothing to do with hidu chose. It's lacking in, it's a deeper lack. And afal, but nevertheless, even if it's chose, if there's something missing, if you can't see it, if it's not visible, Reb Shlomo Zalman is mati, which is quite a significant chiddush. Right. And he says, and he continues and he says, homeopathic. Now, Rabbi, homeopathic medicines, what are they made out of? What? Plants. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman. Now, I'm not quite familiar in this, but Reb Shlomo Zalman says, and therefore, yesh lehatir litol trufa is homeopathic. To take those medicines is permitted. Afal pi, although, sheyesh mahem, there are some, shahnasim, which are made, gami balechait, are made out of insects, yeah, is that so? I didn't know that. Okay, insects. Tmei mishatome v'yesh lochosh, and there would be a concern mishum bittel isalech atchila or mishum maimit. They have ingredients which are normally considered treifa, tomei. There are normally ingredients which wouldn't be permitted to eat, but nevertheless, because they are so minute, and normally it would be a problem of bittel isalech atchila, because they are so such a tiny minute size. I'm not quite sure which insect is referring to, but they are so. Such a tiny size that he said they won't be visible with your eyesight. Therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman said that is no issa. He says the kivin the chelik zeu cotton at meoid are so minute as she built in it fast bechusha enoshi ketaruvus. They are so minute they cannot be visible with the eyes. He said that mistabet the ends of bechala issa. They're not included in issa. Now I want to share with you over here a kasha that Reb Issa Zalman said in the name of Reb David Baran. Now, do you know when is Nacht, Rabbi Yisai? When is considered Nacht? Pardon? Good. And how do you say that in good plain English campaign?
10 past 9.
Okay, good. That's good. Yes. Yeah. You need to have, of course, 3 stars. Now, according to the Cheshbonus, I'm not talking to Rabbeinu Tam Yidden. Yeah, but if you're not Rabbeinu Tam Yid, you're going to go in some times of the year, you're going to look at what is considered the best day Nacht, and some of the Kedas are the same, by the way, but you're going to look outside, are you always inevitably going to see the 3 stars? Beinonim? Not necessarily. You can look out, and you can look again, and you're going to find. And this is not like some say that it's because in London, and for some reason, I don't know, so often you will not see the 3 stars. So what's pshat? How can you be mechalel Shabbos when there's no three stars outside? How can you eat on Motzei Yom Kippur without the 3 stars outside? How can you call it Nacht? The Gemara says you go according to the 3 stars. Good kasha. So Reb David Baran said the Chiz. Reb David Baran was in Yerushalayim. Reb David Baran said an answer, and he said because we can't see the 3 stars. Doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't three medium-sized stars out there. It's that in early generations, said Reb David Baran, the eyesight of the Heilige Amoraim was a lot stronger, and it's one of the things that we lost over the generation. We are not necessarily going to see the 3 stars, although there are 3 stars out there, but our eyesight is not particularly strong. That's Reb David Baran's Chiddush. Based on that concept, Rabbi Yisai, why you agree to that?
It's a kasha, isn't it?
It's a kasha. It definitely is. Do you like the answer? Do you think it's something?
Oh,
very good. What's the kasha?
If we say there that even though we can't see it, it's still there. So why not see with the answer? I'll give him the tefillin.
Very good. Evidence is true that the eyesight is weaker. Which, by the way, it's a bit controversial. Nobody agrees to that. There's other terutzim to the kasha about the 3 stars. Plenty of terutzim. But as one answer is that our eyesight is not particularly strong. Okay, let's go with it. According to that teretz, we're going to be a bit stuck with our Torah about the soygim and the. Homeopathic and about ribua and about ritzuas and everything is going to be a bit of a kasha. If our eyesight is not particularly strong, how can you be matir? Does that make sense? The kasha, find a good kasha. Okay, Reb Shlomo Zalman talking. Reb Shlomo Zalman answers. Any answers, Rabbi Yisai?
You could say that the difference between 20 centimeters and 200 million light years is going to be something of a you can't compare.
With you can't. Very good. Very good. Very good. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. That's true. That actually is a slightly different answer than what he says. That it's definitely a good answer. That many chayim go with that. Yeah, but definitely a very plausible answer is that you have to mechalek between very long distance, taught for us to see the three koichavim, and that's something which our eyesight has deteriorated over the years. However, when it comes to very short distance eyesight, now you don't necessarily, our eyesight may just be as good as it always was. And therefore you can't really compare. Shlomo Zalman says an additional approach, but the Yesoid is very similar to that. Ramosha also quoted Reb Chaim Brisker holding the same Yesoid, that you never have to take into consideration additional microscope or any other additional case. You don't have to take that into consideration. Everything according to Reuiz and Amin. This very much is a Yesoid, even regards to Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, and this is certainly the main approach with regards to the Ratzuas, where we don't have to worry so much about the Ratzuas, although it's Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. And yes, it is Ma'akev, but if it's not visible, if you have to search for those white dots, you don't have to worry about them. If they're not clearly visible, you don't have to worry about them at all. This is the Yesoid that we cover tonight, Bezer Hashem Yisboach Shemoy, as well as learning about the Rambam, that says that the Rambam is the minority opinion, and the Mishnah is made that the Minig is not like that. The Rambam holds that you need to be black on both directions. Mishnah said that's not the Minig, but majority of the Rishonim hold that one direction is sufficient.